thankfully, Lord. We give you thanks that you have given us your word. You have revealed yourself to us in your word. And by that word, it's like a lamp unto our feet, as we may not walk in darkness in this fallen world. And we just pray for Scott, that through him, Lord, that you give him strength and purpose to preach, and that you would use him to instill in us a desire and a strength to be more like Jesus.
Amen. Let me grab a quick drink of coffee because my mouth is just a touch on the dry side this morning. Well, good morning. Some of you know me. I'm Scott Yale, and I am the area director for Ouray County Young Life, and that's how most of you know me. My leaders are here, so. And most of you know I've been approached about becoming an elder, overseer, pastor, shepherd here at Ouray Christian Fellowship. And following the service, I guess there's going to be a short Q&A. If you have some questions for me, I'd be happy to answer. And then as far as I know, where is Pastor Paul? I think, did you say you're buying lunch for everybody after that? So stick around. So okay, there you go. Well, it's going to be a little bit of a different message today as the church transitions, as Paul moves on to his next chapter of his life. I'm not going to be going into as much scripture as I would normally go into. I'm going to talk about my least favorite topic, myself, so you can get to know Rebecca and I a little bit better. But first, let's pray one more time. Father God, have mercy on my inadequacies and allow me to speak truth that will draw us nearer to you, to know you better, God. And please allow my words to be about you, you alone, and not about me. And I just pray that it would touch your people. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. Oh, the places you'll go, and boy, has God taken me some places. Let's go ahead and put up the scripture there, Josh. I guess I put in the NET Bible. I have the, it's the same verse. I just have it, I think, in the New Revised Standard Version maybe or something. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. If you notice, they've translated it correctly in the NET Bible here. There's a Hebrew word in my translation translated man or person. The Hebrew word is Adam. You probably have heard this Hebrew word before. It's the name of that guy in the Garden of Eden, Adam. So Adam is the Hebrew word, and it's just a generic use of the word man so that we understand that a person plans his way, right? But it's not just individuals that the Lord establishes their steps, it's nations. He does it through individuals, but he moves nations around like the pieces on a chessboard. And that's why it says in Scripture that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. See, God moved things around till the time was perfect to send his Son to be born and die and then come back to life for you and me. Now, if we go into this proverb, this is Proverbs 16, and if you're following along in your Bible, which you're welcome to, this proverb starts out and it reiterates in what's begun in verse 1, and it carefully balances this interplay between divine activity in directing human initiative. But it gives God not just the last word, but the soundest. Shakespeare put it this way: there is a divinity that shapes our ends, rough-hew them how we will. There is a divinity that shapes our ends, rough-hew them how we will. I like that. I'm not a big Shakespeare guy, but I like that one. A man plans his road to the last detail, But he can't implement his planning unless it coincides with God's plan for him. We're deluded if we suppose that we have unfettered control and can impose our will on every situation without limitation in order to make our plan a reality. And I know this from my past experience. In fact, the Bible teaches that God knows all things, including every eventuality. He says, "I am God, and there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning, and in ancient times, things not yet done. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Ezekiel says, God says this in Ezekiel, "I am the Lord, I have spoken. It shall come to pass. I will do it." What God wills, he does. Psalm 115, it says, "Our God is in the heaven. He does whatever he pleases." Scripture is rife with stories of this playing out. Stories where God uses human agency from our perspective, things that we do. He uses things, our choices, our fallible decisions, and ultimately they become part of his infallible plan. I don't know how it works. I wish I did. Abraham, he tells Abraham, "Get up and go," and Abraham just does. Moses, he has excuses for not wanting to answer God's calling. Joseph, who's a victim of circumstance, as his brothers nearly kill him, but sell him into slavery. Jacob, the father of Joseph, who wrestles with God and wins. I don't know how that works. But it's something that I do as well. I wrestle with God. Esther, God isn't even mentioned in the book of Esther. And yet he's there throughout the entire thing, just like in the book of Ruth, my favorite love story in the Bible. God sits in the background and orchestrates the steps of everyone in this romantic play that happens in the book of Ruth. David, we're studying David on Tuesday mornings. David, in his frailty and sinfulness, humbly submits to God. Throughout these stories, we see the fingerprints of God's handiwork. But often in our own lives, we're so myopic, fixed in the moment, and focused on our own 2 feet, that a lot of times we miss seeing God working in our own lives. But it's always there. Sometimes it's hidden to us, like it was in the book of Job. Job doesn't get to see God reveal himself towards the end of the book. But even in our suffering, in fact, mostly in our suffering, God reveals himself. God is molding and shaping us. And that's why James says that we can have joy in the midst of suffering, because we know that God is at work even in the midst of that. I was at a funeral yesterday, and the pastor that was conducting the ceremony said, "Every blooming flower needs rain. Every blooming flower needs rain." Sometimes it rains in our life, and we think, why? But every blooming flower needs rain. I love that. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. In the 1970s, I was in third grade in Gunnison, Colorado, where I grew up. Some of you have heard this story. And I'm giving you fair warning now that I have a limited number of stories, and I just tell them over and over. So just get used to it. The teacher asked the class, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And little Joey said, "Well, I want to be a fireman." And Susie said, "I want to be a school teacher." And it came to me, and I said, "I want to be an astronaut." And the whole class began to laugh. And the teacher said, "Children, why are you laughing?" And they said, "Because we know that Scott will be a minister someday." And I said, no, I'm not. And I've been running away from it ever since. After high school, I left home, went to Houston, Texas. It was there that a friend called me and asked if I wanted to attend Bible college, and I didn't have anything pressing that day, so I said, okay. If you have seen the Jesus Revolution movie, you know that I am a product of the Jesus Revolution. As I attended Calvary Chapel Bible College out in Southern California, it was there that I began reading all kinds of books and diving into interesting subjects surrounding the Bible. And I noticed one thing in common of all my favorite authors, and that was that they went to Dallas Theological Seminary. And I said at that time, I want to go to Dallas Theological Seminary sometime. Well, I ended up back in Colorado after Bible college, where I met my lovely wife, Rebecca, in Glenwood Springs. And I gave up that silly dream of attending seminary because I fell in love. And you guys that know about this, you know that you just put everything on hold and do whatever you want, or whatever your wife wants, because you love her. And our life took us to many different states with two amazing kids who both love the Lord. And around 2004, my wife suggested that I should apply for seminary. It seemed logical as far as life circumstances went, but I was far too old to go back to school. And she continued to pester me until finally I relented just to make her happy. I really didn't want to go because I was afraid, just like I am today. There's a whole story about that, but I'm going to save that for another time. Somehow I got accepted and made it through seminary in spite of my protestations against being a minister. It was in seminary that I came under the tutelage of many extraordinary men, such as Dr. Howard Hendricks, Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost, and men that you've never heard of, but I consider to be giants of the faith. I was an intern at Pastor Chuck Swindoll's church in Frisco, Texas. I was mentored by Dr. Mark Young, the current president of Denver Seminary. Every summer during my internships, we would take what was coined the 1,000-mile conversation. We drove all over Texas, going to all kinds of churches and meeting with their staff and listening to their stories of success and failure and challenges. In seminary, I had the privilege of studying in Israel and Jordan. I saw firsthand the archaeology, the geography, and the reality of the stories in Scripture. In 2019, Rebecca and I attended a memorial right here in Ouray, Colorado, that Pastor Dan Preston of the Baptist Church was conducting. And Rebecca said, I want to move to Ouray. So here we finally are. There's a lot of stories in between there, and stories that involve my good friend Mark Anderson, who I met here at the Bible study downstairs on Tuesday. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. I tell you these things not to impress or to boast, but so that you can know how God has established my steps. These are just some of the steps that he's established for me, and I'm not telling you this because I'm looking for a job. I'm here because I believe God has called me to stand before you this day and introduce myself to those who don't know me, but also to those who do know me, to give some deeper insights as to who I am and also who I am not. And I'm going to start with who I am not. I am not a Bible scholar. In fact, I have a superpower that most of you are unaware of, and that is the ability to forget almost anything. But truly, this has afforded me the amazing opportunity to watch my favorite movies over and over again. I have read Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit at least a half a dozen times. But it also forces me back into the Scriptures over and over again. Because I forget. I can relate to those people in the Bible that you look at and you go, how stupid are they? Why do they not remember? That's me. But fortunately, seminary gave me a set of tools to help me study Scripture and a large collection of very expensive and heavy books that help me glean insights into who God is. Something else I am not. I am not infallible. I make all kinds of mistakes. That's why I would encourage you to be like the Berean Jews in Acts 17. Have an open mind. Be a careful listener. I can tell you my wife listens to my words carefully. And she tells me when I'm wrong. But also be diligent testers of what I say. Don't take anything I say at face value. I've also been told that I'm not an administrator. This comes from probably getting behind when Rebecca and I both had cancer and moving out here over the process of 5 years it took us to get moved out here. And I'm willing to grant you that I'm not an administrator. If you're looking for an administrator to get behind this pulpit, I'm probably not your guy. I'm also not a pastor. When I look in the mirror, I see an amazingly handsome guy. But I don't see a pastor. And so I argue with God. And I tell him, I can't do this. And he agrees. But he says, I can. I recognize that any effort rooted in my own strength is bound to fail. But complete reliance on Him will never fail. And that's true for you. What I am. In Paul's instruction to Timothy, he said, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus to preach the word. Keruxon ton logon in the Greek. Preach the word. This is carved in stone on the campus of Dallas Theological Seminary. This is their motto. Keruxon ton logon. Preach the word. That's one of the things I can do. I'm also a sinner saved by grace, standing before you today humbly. Paul summed up who I am in Romans 7 when he said, O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? The verse continues and says, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. I am completely unworthy of this calling. Spurgeon said it this way, when you feel yourself to be utterly unworthy, you've hit the truth. You've hit the truth. I am also willing to walk in the steps that God has called me to, in spite of my fear and trepidation, knowing that I'm inadequate, knowing that I'm incapable in my own strength of walking this path, but knowing full well that He is. Maybe you're feeling rushed in this process, that we're moving forward too fast, and I understand that. I know Pastor Paul and the elders aren't trying to rush anybody. They're doing their best to try and make a seamless transition for the good of this body of believers. Nothing more. But I don't want you to feel rushed. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here to serve you in whatever capacity you need. I will continue to get up at the crack of dawn on Tuesday mornings and make coffee for the Tuesday morning men's Bible study, which I see several guys in here. I want to start getting in there. I'll be here to build relationships among the believers of Ouray County as I feel a burden for the legacy that Daniel Defravelle left, to bring unity amongst the Orthodox, Bible-believing, Christ-following believers that surround us throughout Ouray County. And I will continue to love the folks of Ouray Christian Fellowship to the best of my ability, as I've done for the past 5 years. And I will continue to love the kids of Ouray County because God put that in my DNA. And I can't help it. But maybe I'm not your flavor of ice cream. And that's okay too. As much as it pains me, I know that I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And there's something unfortunate that I want you to know. There is a comedian that lives inside of me. And sometimes he comes out and gets me in terrible trouble. And y'all know I'm not lying about that. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Not only did God direct me here today to speak to you about who I am and what God has done in my life, he also brought you here today. What is he saying to you this morning? Do you have a deep and abiding communion with him? So deep that you can recklessly and fearlessly abandon yourself and fall into whatever task he has called you to, knowing that he is always there for you and will equip you for whatever he calls you to. He came in human flesh to this earth and he directed your steps into this room this morning. I don't know what your story is. Maybe you're in need of a Savior today. A God like the one that I've been talking about, that knows you already. A God that you can trust because he already has your life in his hand. Maybe your life circumstances are overwhelming you. Maybe you felt far from Jesus. And you want to get back in touch with him. You long for that intimate, personal fellowship with him. Well, guess what? You've come to the right place. God's directed your steps perfectly this morning. Stick around for a while. And I would love to pray with you if you have any concerns on your heart. Stick around for the Q&A. Stick around afterwards. Thank you for this opportunity to be with you this morning. I am so grateful for the confidence that people have shared in me in spite of myself. And I'm so grateful that we are here together this morning. We have one more opportunity for a song. So get up and let's praise the Lord.